Ruth chapter 4. So Boaz went to the town gate, which was where all decisions were made by the elders, and he sat down there. Then the close relative of Elimelech, that's the one who could have married Ruth and raised up children in the name of Elimelech, well, this man came by, and Boaz called out to him, "Please come here and sit down." So he came and sat down. Boaz got 10 of the elders of the town and asked them also to sit down. Now, when they were all sat down, he said to this kinsman, "Naomi has returned from Moab, and she wants to sell the field that belonged to our brother Elimelech. And so I'm telling you about this. So, if you wish to buy it, please buy it now in the presence of these men who are sitting here. But if you don't want it, then I have the right to redeem it, because I am after you." The man said, "I will buy it." And we all think, "Oh no, so Boaz and Ruth aren't going to get married." But then Boaz said, "If you buy the field from Naomi, then you are also redeeming Ruth, the Moabite widow, because the field must stay in the name of the dead man's family." Well, the man replied, "In this case, I resign my right to buy that field, because it would mean that I would damage the inheritance of my own children. You buy it. I don't wish to in this case." So this man is thinking, well, I see, if I have to marry this Moabite woman Ruth and have children by her, then those children are going to share in my inheritance when I'm dead. And that means that my own children will have less inheritance. I don't want that. Now, we never learn the name of this man. He was worried about keeping his name going, but you never hear what his name was. Whereas Boaz marries Ruth, and we know that his name keeps going because actually they were ancestors of Jesus. So it just shows, if you have the small, short-term view, "No, I want to just do everything just so that my kids have the best inheritance, and no, I don't want to raise up any more children in the name of my dead relative." Well, okay, so you have your life and you die and you shall be forgotten. This man's name is not even recorded. So he's allowing Boaz to redeem the land and to marry Ruth. Now, in those days, to settle a sale or something of this nature, it was customary for the seller to remove his sandal and give it to the buyer. In this way, the people understood that the matter was now openly settled. So when the man said to Boaz, "You can buy it," he took off his sandal and gave it to Boaz. Boaz said to the elders and to all who were present there in the gate, "You are all witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and to his sons, Chilion and Mahlon, and also Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I take unto me to be my wife, and so the property will remain in the name of the dead man, and his family line is going to continue in this town and amongst his people. You are all witnesses to this day." And the elders said, and all the people said, "Yes, we are witnesses, and may Yahweh make your wife like Rachel and Leah, who bore so many children to Jacob. May you become wealthy in the tribe of Ephrath, and may your name be famous in Bethlehem, and may the children that Yahweh is going to give you by this young woman make your family like the family of Perez, the son of Judah, and Tamar." Now, you notice here that marriage was done publicly in front of witnesses. So we live in a world where people don't take relationships seriously. You live with somebody for a bit and then you drift off, live with someone else for a bit. And people are not serious about, many people are not serious about their relationships. And of course they have children. And here you see God's intention that marriage should be a permanent and an open situation where there are witnesses to it and everybody knows that this man and woman are declared as husband and wife. So Ruth returned home to Boaz as his wife, and Yahweh blessed her, and she bore a son, and the women said to Naomi, "Praise Yahweh, he has given you a grandson today. May this child become famous in Israel. Your daughter-in-law loves you and has done more for you than even seven sons could do. And now you have a grandson who will revive your life in your old age." Naomi took the child and cuddled him and took care of him. And the women in the area called the boy Obed, and they said, "A son has been born to Naomi." Now Obed became the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. This is the family line from Perez to David: Perez, Hezron, Ram, Aminadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David. And you read that again in the New Testament in the genealogy of Jesus. So as I say, this man who is not named, he was all worried about, "Oh, I want to do what's best for my kids so that they get as much of my inheritance as they can." And we don't even know his name. He's disappeared. Just like all the people who try to be rich and think they can build up lots of wealth to give to their kids. They pass through this world and that's it. Whereas those who don't see it in those terms, who try to be spiritual, who put spiritual things first. You remember how Boaz always was mentioning God. When we first meet him in the story, he comes into his field and he calls out to his workers, "May Yahweh bless you." And they reply, "And may Yahweh bless you too." But straight away you see how the basis of the attraction between Boaz and Ruth was spiritual. And he said, "Yes, I heard about you, how you care for your old mother-in-law, even though you are not a Jewess or an Israelitess, you're not an Israelite woman. And I've heard that you want to accept the God of Israel." And he obviously was attracted to that. And she was attracted to the way that he spoke openly about Yahweh and was unashamed of his faith. So that is the basis upon which we should get married, to someone who also loves God. And it's as simple as that. And as you see, the whole thing was blessed, and their descendant eventually became David, and further on, Jesus, who was right in the line of David.